Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
And welcome indeed to Lost in the Static.
Why are you being, you're being so quiet?
I don't know. Why not?
Because people like to hear you. This is a radio kind of thing.
Well, if they don't want to hear me and they want to watch somebody getting fucked instead, they can go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code STATIC, and they can get 3 free DVDs of people fucking, 50% off their own item.
50 whole percents?
50 whole percents. You heard me. 50% off of a single item, free shipping, and a free mystery gift like a cock ring or penis enlarger or anything like that. Go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code STATIC.
Everything from movies to lingerie to toys for every end you can imagine.
Inners, outers, doesn't really matter, innies, outies. True. And we probably just alienated our guest, who you probably heard drinking back there. I heard some ice jingling around. Huh, Brad Westmar?
Yes, sorry about that. I got to tell you, though, it's really cool to hear Adam and Eve products talked just so bluntly like that. I love it.
Oh,
I
mean, and this was a tame promo.
Yeah, this was a pretty tame one.
Yeah, knowing Josh, I believe that.
Was that a shot?
No, the shots are coming later.
Oh, okay. Because yeah, you just got done recording your show with Batman, didn't you?
Yeah. Batman, who is starting to become known more as just his real name, Todd Sheets, because the Batman thing, the shtick is kind of getting a little stale for me. So, yeah. But, you know, it's all good.
Well, Brad, you come from, Todd's going to get pissed off at this, you come from real radio, as do Scott and I.
You mm-hmm. You did real radio?
Yeah, I worked at WDOR for like 2.5 years in Sturgeon
Bay. Oh, so not real radio. You did Sturgeon Bay radio.
Well, it was kind of real. It was over the air and shit.
But anyway, it's always nice to have another real radio guy, terrestrial radio, as they say, on the air. So, but where do you get your experience at, Brad? Because I honestly don't know much of your history.
Well, you might sure, know him well, as BJ Bradley.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was my air name back in the day. And first of all, let me say, guys, that, you know, Josh, you know this, and I'm going to admit that I haven't listened to as many shows lately of Lost in the Static, but I'm a big fan of both Scott and yours, Josh. You know that. And I love what you guys are doing with the show. And in fact, when I first mentioned you guys on my show, I believe I referred to you as like being my perspiration or something like that. Isn't that what I said? Do you remember exactly?
Yeah, it was something like that, because Jared was like, this is really backhanded compliment to them. He gave you shit over that.
I'm actually really good. You guys are my sweat. Just letting you know. What? Well,
yeah. Well, the point was more of that you guys are uncensored. You guys go ahead and embrace the internet thing, you know, and say whatever you want to say. And, you know, we're a little more tame on my show, albeit though still also broadcast on the internet. For more reasons, the only reason I can really say is the reason why is I like the whole idea of leaving something to the imagination of the listener. Now, not to say that you guys don't do that as well, but I'm just saying that, you know, you guys are kind of the way that I'd like to be, but I just can't do it. You know, the terrestrial radio inside of me just won't let me say the F word all the time. It just won't.
But you can say it on this show. Say fuck right now.
Fuck me. All right. Are you happy?
Okay. We've gotten that out of the way.
I'm not saying it again. So,
believe it or not, it actually took me a little while to get comfortable with the language, and having you on and talking to you and doing an interview like this, it's going to be hard for me to curse. I'm going to leave all the cursing up to Josh for this one.
What the fuck, huh?
But
Brad's been on What the Fuck.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate what you're saying, and I know exactly where you're coming from. But yeah, and I also, Brad, from what I've heard from you, you seem to be one of the guys. There's another guy who runs a show called Another Damn Talk Show Live on Jackalope. He just joined us, named Jason Oblivion. Yeah. And he's one of those guys where you put those FCC reins on him, and his comedy and his show actually ends up being better because he has to find ways to work around, and he can't play the the heavy-handed poop humor and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And you seem that that's something that radio guys like us have gotten used to over the years, is that we have to be entertaining without going completely blue. So,
yep.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and yeah, I hear you.
Well, and that is what most people probably don't know that listen to the show, is that, you know, we could say the F word all the time. We could say whatever we wanted to say because we're not really restricted by, you know, FM, you know, licenses and the FCC and whatnot, as much as Todd would like to think we are. We're not. But it is. For me, it's more fun to try to dance around it. I think it's a different kind of humor, but I think it's still funny. And I mean, quite frankly, there's a part of me too that believes it's a little bit more marketable too. Not that I'm trying to do anything with my show, I'm really not. I'm just doing it for fun. You know, Magic Matt joined the show here this past summer. He's a great friend of mine from my radio past, and he's really, you know, helped bring some extra inspiration to me, you know, in the show. But to answer your question earlier, Scott, you know, my background, I don't really have a huge radio background, but it was basically adult top 40 radio back in the late 80s and early to mid and then into the late 90s. I pretty much just worked for one organization in Sioux City, Iowa, which, you know, is almost as backwoods as the Wisconsin station that, you know, Josh worked for. And so it's not like I worked in big time, you know, music radio. But I worked at it at a very, very interesting time. I mean, I worked at it in it at a time when, you know, music radio was kind of hitting its peak, you know, especially mainstream, you know, music and top 40 music. And then everything kind of broke off into sections, and you had the rock and you had the hard rock charts and you had, you know, the alternative. And I went through the grunge scene, you know, on the radio and the rap and all this stuff. And then I also left at the tail end, or I should say at the very, very beginning of all the conglomerates getting together, Clear Channel and everything else. When I left, when I first started working at the station I worked at KGLI-FM in Sioux City, Iowa, we had two stations. We had the FM, we had the AM station. But when I left, we had five stations in that same building because that's what was happening in radio at the time. So I kind of went through some interesting transitions in radio. It's strangely enough, it's led me to this, which I'm not really sure what this is, but it's fun and it's not restricted at all. And that's what's cool. You put your own restrictions on yourself and it makes it a lot more fun.
Well, something Scott and I were talking about right before you logged on was shit songs. The song you put on when you have to go take a dump as a DJ. We were discussing what our shit songs were. Mine was always, if I could get away with it, was Freebird. If it was at an earlier time in the day, it was always American Pie. And Scott had some like 36-minute jazz song or something he used.
Yeah, I used to, the station that I first DJed at was an all jazz station, with the exception of Sundays. We had one called World Safari, which was world music. And I adore Ladysmith Black Mambazo, if anybody's familiar with it, because they had a good 15-minute African song that I could play if I needed to run. Or thank goodness it was a jazz station, because I don't remember the artist or the song, but it was this long kind of free-form jazz song that was 36 minutes long. And, oh, that was a savior every now and then.
Oh my God. I mean, that is an amazingly long song. I mean, I could do more than just take a dump during that song, clearly. Oh, you know.
Oh yeah. And the weird thing was, our shows on that station were either in 2-hour blocks or 4-hour blocks on the weekend. So if I'm doing a 2-hour show and I play one 36-minute song, there's a quarter of my shift done, you know.
So yeah. What was your shit song that you
clearly
to go with?
Good question. And clearly there's two that come to my mind. There are probably more, but the two that of course fit the format were Prince's Purple Rain, the album version, which was roughly 9 minutes long, if I recall correctly, which is not a lot of time. I mean, you've got to be ready to go. I mean, you almost have to wait till that last moment, you know, so that you know you're ready, because you can't go up to the toilet And then say, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You got to be ready to go when you get up there in 9 minutes. You just don't have a lot of time to spare. The other one, which was a current hit during the time, was November Rain, the full album version of Guns N' Roses' November Rain. Again, only about 10 minutes or so. So there was a lot of pressure because you did have to walk a little bit, not a long ways, but you had to walk a slight ways, go up a couple of short, very short flights of stairs. And also, the worst part was that the speaker sometimes didn't work out in the hallway. So you would go upstairs into the bathroom, you'd do your thing, and you couldn't hear the song. I mean, you literally, and you know, they didn't have stopwatches on your iPhones back then in 1991 either. So you pretty much just had to time yourself. I mean, you really just had, and there were a few times where you go out in the hallway and you wouldn't hear the song, and you were kind of walking down, and you would, the further you walked down closer to the studio, you'd be able to hear the music because you turned it up really loud. But boy, if you came down there and you didn't hear that starting that music as you rounded the corner, you went into a dead sprint because you never knew who was listening at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, yeah. You know,
exactly. Because I remember the big thing is that you learn when you first get into terrestrial radio is just how long 30 seconds can be when you've got nothing to say and that you've got 30 seconds to fill. Doesn't sound like it's a long time, but good God, that is forever when you've got nothing to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, that brings me back to the days of doing live remotes too. There was a, you know, you basically go out on location, of course, and it'd be, you know, an account, you know, and obviously an advertisement account, and they were going to pay to have, you know, BJ Bradley come out and talk about their business for 2 hours during every break for 60 seconds. Okay. So the live DJ beyond the air back of the studio, he'd throw it to you out there. They still do this kind of stuff today, of course, although it's half of it's pre-recorded, and we'll maybe get into that a little bit later if you want to. But, you know, they throw it to you. And the thing is, sometimes you go to a business where you just weren't feeling it. You know, it wasn't interesting. They didn't give you much information. I mean, I'll take a car lot, for instance. I mean, you can't just go to a car lot if you don't know cars and don't care about cars and start talking about cars. So try filling 60 seconds live on the air about cars when you know dick about cars. So you're right, Josh. 30 seconds, 60 seconds, pick a number. It can be very long when you don't know what the hell to say.
One of the remotes that I did that I remember where that just – it just hit me where I was just like, I don't want to be here. I've got nothing to say
about
this place.
You're totally out of your depth.
Yeah. We did a live remote at a grocery store. And really – You run out of, I think I, toward the end, I did one break about how great Hostess Ding Dongs were. And I was talking to the manager of the store about how great Hostess Ding Dongs were. And he's like, yeah, and we've got them on sale for blah, blah. I'm like, well, whatever. They're chocolatey, nummy, creamy goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I know, yeah. I know exactly where you're coming from.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, Brad had one on his show about how people would accidentally call his station thinking they were the country station, and he'd decide to screw with them and pretend he was the country station and take their request. I was crying. I was laughing so hard at what you were doing to that poor girl when you played that clip.
I'm glad you liked that. That is one, if not the most classic clip that I have of all time from my radio days. And I spelled days D-A-Z-E because I was in a daze during those years. I'm glad you liked that, Josh, because that was one of the better times back in the day. We loved to mess with people because, I mean, the kids were just – they were kids, and they were silly, and they'd stay on the line with you forever. And so that was a lot of fun. And it's funny you mentioned that because, ironically, talking about how you would go to a remote and you'd have nothing to say, what you would inevitably try to do is put somebody on the air with you, regardless of whether it was somebody coming by shopping at the grocery store or whether it was a manager or just the checkout person or something. Ask them questions, make a few funnies. At least you're still talking about the place, which is what you're supposed to be doing. Now, coincidentally, I bring up irony and coincidence here because I don't have enough of that on my show. And it's one of the things that I really, really like. But I got to be honest with you guys, I'm scared sometimes to bring people on my show. I mean, you know, present company excluded, but you never know what you're going to get. I mean, you know, thankfully for you guys, you know me well enough to know what you're going to get. You're going to get somebody who's going to talk. They're going to have something to say because that's just who I am. But I mean, I got to be careful. And I've had bad experiences on my previous show, the Wild Wild Westmar show from 2005 to 2008. you know, you just you get somebody in studio sometimes and you just they're just dead. They just sit there and stare at you because they're in awe because you're doing this pretend radio show in a basement.
Are you talking about the guest or Todd? You know,
pardon me?
I said, are you talking about the guest or Todd that just stares at you dead?
Sometimes Jared, to be quite honest with you, you know, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, you never know what you're going to get. And sometimes, you know, a guest can be the greatest thing in the world if they're going to be talkative. And other times they can be real duds and you just never know what you're going to get. But at a remote, at least you've got that to fall back on if there's people there. That's the other thing too, guys. You're doing a live remote and nobody's showing up. It's even worse, you know?
Tell me about it. Now, going back into your terrestrial, now you said toward the end you were there for the conglomeration and obviously for the rise of what I think is it's the rise of what I consider the fall of radio.
That is
tracking and pre-recording your entire shift. Kind of toward the end of my time, I could go into the radio station where in Evansville where I was working. And I would maybe work for 15 or 20 minutes, but I did an entire 6-hour shift in that time, just tracking it all ahead of time. Now, if somebody is interested in radio now and interested in doing live radio, where do you suggest they go and how do you deal with that kind of a switchover going from the late 80s when you started being live almost all the time, just like, well, I started in the early 90s myself, to that rise of the tracking downfall of the DJ.
Well, the first thing I would do is suggest you find a different career. I mean, that's pretty obvious because, you know, even back then, I mean, if I had it to do over again, I wouldn't have majored in broadcasting in college. But, you know, at the age of 19, does anybody really know what they want to be when they grow up? And that's another story, you know. But, I mean, because I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do for a living when I grow up. But if they really want to get into radio, I mean, there's definitely stuff there. I strongly suggest just really working hard at honing your craft and figuring out really what your craft is. Because when I was in, you know, terrestrial radio, it got monotonous, man. You know, you'd go to work every day for 5 hours. You'd be on the air. I was on the air when I left from 10 to 3, midday, you know, disc jockey. You know, I was the At Work Network guy. But it was just got boring. I mean, it was like, it was, you know, playing the same songs. You know, you're selling the same, you know, liners and sweepers and things like that. It's just all the same stuff over and over and over again. And, you know, you'd have to work really, really hard to be creative. But the problem with that kind of radio, guys, is that you don't have that much time to talk. I mean, you just don't have that much time to be cutesy, funny, entertaining, or to catch somebody's ear. And frankly, nobody's listening, you know, to KG95 in Sioux City, Iowa at 11 o'clock in the morning to hear BJ Bradley. They're listening to hear Huey Lewis sing, you know. And so you really have to kind of figure out what you really want to do. And in today's terrestrial radio and music radio, you know, you have to work really hard to just be able to say exactly what you want to say in a quick moment. You know, you've got to, and the great thing about the tracking now, Scott, as you mentioned, because I've done this as well. I've gone back to the station I used to work for and they said, hey, BJ, come on in and, you know, go ahead and cut an air shift and we'll put you on. And I've done it. I've done it a few times. I've gone in, I've voice tracked, and I've gone back to my mother's neighbor's pool and listened to myself on the air for 4 hours after, you know, voice tracking it. But as you know, when you're voice tracking, if you don't like what you've done, if you flub up, if you slur a word, if you pronounce something incorrect, if you, you know, you can go back and do it again over and over and over again. So my show, when I did it, I had no flaws. It was too perfect, you know, and that's the unfortunate part. But on the other side, to go back and answer your question, if you can really get funny or hone your craft by voice tracking, then you can probably do anything in talk radio. But my overall suggestion would be to look at more doing talk radio. I think talk radio is far more popular now than it's ever been, thanks to podcasting, thanks to pretend radio, thanks to Sirius XM. You know, regardless of whether you like those mediums or not, they're there. There's plenty to choose from, and it's great. You know, you can do your own thing. I mean, maybe you get a real job and just do the pretend radio thing on the side like this 40-year-old bum's doing these days. I don't know. Well. It's tough. I mean, I would strongly suggest not getting into radio.
Yeah.
It's just my opinion, you know?
Well, because I remember when I worked at the Sturgeon Bay station, you were saying you don't have any time to do anything. They just wouldn't let me. Mm-hmm. Everything was so restrictive. It was, you don't want to offend people. Don't say mm-hmm. this. Don't try and be cutesy. Don't make references to movies or a band lots of people haven't heard of. Just basically give the time, give the temperature, do the contest, get to the song. So, yeah. I mean, you know, out of all mine, I don't even have copies of any of my stuff because there's nothing to be proud of. It was just, here's the time, here's the temperature, blah, 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 here's a contest, and then, you know, go to the next song. They were so restrictive, I couldn't do anything. And I don't...
Yeah.
It's boring.
Go ahead, guys.
I was going to say, it's boring.
So...
Go ahead, Scott.
I'm sorry, Brad. I keep walking all over you. But my question is, what inspired you to get involved here on the fake radio side and on the internet radio side?
That, you know, I appreciate that question because I do have a lot of influences. You know, when I was in Sioux City working in music radio, I'll be honest, one of my main... my main influences to ever want to do a show like this was a show called The Don and Mike Show, based in Washington, D.C. And it, at the time, was a nationally syndicated, basically just a talk radio program, but it aired in the afternoons. And one of the other stations in Sioux City happened to carry that show for a while. And it was just a huge inspiration in my life. And throughout the years, and that was back in 1993, and throughout the years, you know, those guys kind of hung around and I kind of followed them every once in a while. And it was just, you know, at the time back then, you listen to something like that and go, here I am in lowly, you know, Sioux City, Iowa, doing music radio, selling songs and doing the time, tune, and temp. And I'm never going to be like Don and Mike, you know. And when I first moved to Kansas City and got out of radio, you know, I kind of pushed radio aside. And in 1997, 1998, when I moved here, the internet was nowhere near what it is today or what it was in 2005. And the opportunity to do your own thing just wasn't there. But in the, you know, 2003, 2004, 2005, I started toying around with the idea, kind of became inspired again and said, you know what? I bet I could do my own talk radio thing. I can do what they did. I just never had the medium to do it in back then because I wasn't paid to do it, you know? And if I had it to do all over again, I would have looked at myself a little bit harder and seen that that was really what I wanted to do and that's what I really should have strived to do. But as it is now, I'm just a drug dealer here in Kansas City. So,
and Todd made you an offer that you couldn't refuse, huh?
Well, yeah, to come back, that's true. Because and this is where I'm at now. You know, Josh, you asked me in the show notes before we started tonight something about this whole Westmar 2.0 thing, and I'll try to go over it with you real quick if you don't mind. When I was doing the Wild Wild Westmar show, which was my first endeavor in pretend radio, it was a 3-hour show. It was a little more offensive than maybe the Brad Westmar show is now. But we still had some really small FM stations that were airing the show. And when I say really small, I mean really small, you know, but it was cool to be able to say you had FM stations airing the show. And I quit the show after my daughter was born, shortly after my daughter was born. There was actually a lot of reasons that I quit the show, some internal with the show. A lot of it just had to do with the stress of having a small child in my late 30s. But then, yeah, a couple of years after my daughter was born, Todd and I reconnected because that's how Todd and I knew each other, was back from the old days doing that show. He had another show. He had a Night Watch show, was on that station as well. And he basically just kind of said, hey, you know, why don't you come back and you could do a show? And at that time, I was already kind of having the hankering and was kind of looking around to see what my best options might be. And since the studio is like 10 minutes from my house, it kind of made sense. So, yeah, he gave me an offer I couldn't refuse. But the Westmar 2.0 thing, do you mind if I mention this real quick, guys?
No, please go right ahead.
Okay. You know, the whole joke when I started the Brad Westmar show was that I was going to be a kinder, gentler Brad this time around, that I was going to try to love people a little more, try to embrace life a little bit more. And unfortunately, after a year of doing this show, I've realized that it's actually just the opposite. I'm worse now. I'm 40. I've got an almost 4-year-old. My job is more hectic and stressful than it's ever been in my entire life. And I still got to do this dumb pretend radio show every week. So F all of you, you know, it actually got worse. It kind of blew up in my face and I kind of knew that it was. So I'm more like Brad 1.1 right now. I guess.
Well, it's something I always wanted to ask you. Since you're back in real radio days, your name was BJ Bradley. Did anyone ever give you shit over the BJ thing, since that has a different connotation?
Yeah, you know, honestly, back then it really wasn't as big of a deal as people really snicker at the name now. You know, I got to be honest with you. Back, I mean, the name really had a ring. I mean, one of the things, I mean, take out what, you know, BJ really means in a sexual connotation. It has a good ring to it. People remember the name. You know, BJ Bradley has just this, it worked. It really, really worked. And it just happened to be something that I came up with on the fly one time. And so back then, it didn't really happen that much. But looking back now, apparently, you know, the blowjobs and BJs are a lot more, you know, snicker worthy than they were back then. Or people just didn't have the balls to do it to my face back then because I was actually being paid to be BJ Bradley. I don't know, something like that.
Well, something that, because Scott and I are in Green Bay, I wanted to ask you was your hatred of Brett Favre. Do you hate him for different reasons than we hate him, because we've met him and we live in Green Bay?
Wow. You know, I think I've been asked that question before on my show too, and I think the real reason that not living in Green Bay that I hate Brett Favre so much is that after the first time he retired and then came back, it became apparent to me, and I think everybody but ESPN, that Brett Favre loved Brett Favre quite a bit, and that Brett Favre likes to hear Brett Favre's name on the TV, and that Brett Favre likes to create a shitstorm just by saying something that could be taken out of context and be ran on SportsCenter for a week. And it just became very apparent to me that Brett Favre loved Brett Favre. And that I just got so sick of him retiring, coming back, and just making such a big dramatic, you know, push to have himself all over the TV that it just got old. And it's just in the Midwest like this, you know, down here, it just doesn't sit well with us, I guess. I mean, a lot of people feel the same way, I think, these days, you know.
Amazingly, meeting the guy in person, he loved, you're right, he loved seeing himself on TV. He even loved seeing his wife on TV, anything that had to do with the Favre name. But for somebody that loved seeing themselves on TV as much as he did, he treated the reporters like absolute crap. So yet another reason to hate him is he was the shit and he knew it. So...
You know, and image, I mean, sometimes, you know, a person, whether they're famous or semi-famous or pretend famous, can give off an image. I mean, you know, and I'll just use myself as an example versus Brett Favre. I mean, Brett Favre could come off as being a jerk because of all the retirement things, but maybe, Scott, you were just going to tell me that actually he was really nice at such and such a point or whatever. I wouldn't have been surprised, because, you know, an image is one thing. The truth could be another thing. But it's all about what image you project as a person or as a personality or whatever the case might be. Back on my old show, I think most people thought that I was an arrogant prick who thought my shit didn't stink and thought that I was better than everybody else, because that's the way I came off on the air. But it was all a shtick. It wasn't real. I'm probably the most insecure person in this room right now, you know. But people don't know that, because it's all about an image that you project about yourself, you know, as a stick. But the difference between me and the Brad Westmar show and Brett Favre as a football player is expectations more than anything. You know what you're getting with me, because I'm doing an entertainment show. With Brett Favre, you know, most people expect, you know, professional athletes to have a certain demeanor about themselves. And generally you would want and expect them to be nice, and they're just not always, you know, so nice, I guess.
Well, I remember I gave you a certain insider story on football that you're still a little reluctant to run forward with, and I'm not going to say it here, but are you ever going to run forward with that back end story I told you about?
Yeah, well, you know, I have definitely, and I know you're not a Twitter guy, which, by the way, still confuses me, but let's not get into that. But but I have tweeted insinuations multiple times. I have also searched multiple times about this particular situation on Twitter and also on Google, and it is definitely becoming more apparent that you are not the only person with this inside information. And you'll be also happy to know that it also came up in a roundabout way again tonight on my show that you'll hear released this Friday night on Jackalope Radio. So to answer your question, am I ever going to go full bore with it? I really haven't decided. It just someday it might happen. It's just hard to say. You know, sometimes, and I'm sure you guys can relate, sometimes you go into a show and you say something that you never really thought you'd go there, and you've just gone there. And once you go there, you can't stop. And so, you know, I've kind of held myself back. I've insinuated a lot, but I've never actually brought it up. And someday it might happen. I don't know.
Well,
you
know? I'm going to switch subjects here because it's no fun spending time talking about something you can't really talk about.
picky.
Yeah, silly me. I'll relate to you one of my experiences when I was on the air in Evansville. I went out shopping with a friend, and we were sitting there in the grocery store in an aisle, and I forget what we were talking about, but we were talking about something on the shelf, and I kid you not, I had again jazz station, so this was a jazz fan, so it was a middle-aged lady, literally come running around the aisle and look, and she went, "Are you on 91.5 WUEV?" And I said, "Yes." And she goes, "I listen to you every weekend. You're incredible. You're Scott, right?" And I, "Yes, it's a pleasure to meet you." And this lady, I was living at a university at the time, so I'd walked to the deal, and I walked home, and she gets in her grocery go-getter after paying for all of her stuff, waits for me and my friend to come out of the store. And then as we're walking down the road, she is following very slowly, just talking to me and go, you know, "Where can I, I just want to listen to you."
But that was your first psycho
fan? That was my first psycho fan. Have you ever dealt with any listeners or fans like that?
Have I ever? You just brought back a ton of painful memories that I apparently had, you know, put away in some dark spot in my mind because I had totally forgotten about shit like that. But honestly,
that's my goal in life. I have fulfilled my purpose. I have brought back painful memories.
Oh, Scott, I'll tell you that, you know, guys, they are so crazy. I mean, and I'm sure they're still crazy today. And I mean, I can't even count on my hands the number of times that I can't even think of any particular stories, but just your story there reminded me, I put myself in your spot, Scott, and I saw myself going through exactly the same thing that you're talking about over and over and over and over and over again. And it's just, it's painful because, but at the same time, it's very rewarding because it does stroke your ego. And you have to be nice. And usually I think I was nice, but it's just it's weird. It's just really weird, and there's a lot of weird people out there. You know, you never know what's gonna look. If you've seen, you talk about movies. I'm not a big movie guy, but I do enjoy a good movie. And there's a couple of movies that come to mind: Play Misty for Me, and Talk Radio. And I don't know if you guys know Talk Radio, but that's the show. With Eric Bogosian that I play clips from during the show intro that I've had such great feedback on. I don't get any feedback about my show, but I have had great feedback on the show intros that I do. And those two movies, if you haven't seen them before, watch them and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And it's as I've explained it. In fact, I'll relate another story. One of the guys that I used to work with named Cutter, had kind of the slot you did. Only he was later in the evening, and it was top 40 and pop, and he had the voice like this: "Hello, ladies," you know, and so he would do his show, and I would occasionally do remotes with him and talk with him and whatnot. And for some reason, it had to do with some shtick on his show. I don't know exactly what it was, but girls that were either walking by or running by or driving by would lift up their shirts and show him their boobs.
When
are we going to get to this point?
Yeah, I'd love that. But I looked at Cutter. I was like, "Man, you have the best shtick in the world. You know, my fans come by and start talking to me about Coltrane, and yours show them boobs." And he goes, "Yeah, it's wonderful until you learn that they're 13.
Yeah. Yeah. Or 60.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't look. I can't say any more about that other than what you just said. Which is absolutely true, especially working for, you know, a top 40 station that was skewed adult, but definitely had good numbers in the old 12 plus range, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, my thing when I was working nights was they called it the BJ Bradley Love and Dedication Show, which was basically all the teenage kids would call up and they would dedicate, you know, I want to make a dedication. Okay, well, to Bobby, you know, from Annie. And then I'd write them all down. I'd have writer's cramp by the end of the hour. I'd write them all down, and I'd just go on the air, and I'd pick slow songs, and I'd play slow songs for the entire hour, and I'd mention the dedications, and I would sometimes put them on the air. And I got some great bits, you know, from that, and I've got those in my file. But the bad part was that, you know, well, I'm sorry, the good part was it could be kind of entertaining, but the bad part was they were all like 12, and it was just so, you talk about monotonous and boring, you know. But that's the way it is sometimes working at certain radio stations, you know.
Did you get hit on at all when you went to the gay pride thing last year for Westmar? Did you get any psycho gay fans?
You know, other than gay Ken, nobody hit on me. Strangely enough, you would have thought so. That was actually one of the more entertaining things that we've done. I think it turned out really well. It was a little bit nerve-wracking.
Gay.
Yeah, exactly. But it was very gay, you know. But it was interesting, and it took us a while to get warmed up, and it took me a while to, hey, gay guy, can you come over here? Can I ask you a few questions, please? Because you know, I knew in my heart of hearts that most of them would be very, open to it. Because let's be honest, there aren't much more open people in this world than gay people, you know. And well, as long as they're open. Openly gay, of course.
Well, if they're at a gay pride parade, that kind of implies they're open.
True. This is a very true, very true. So if I recall correctly, we had nobody turn us down for a recording, not for anything else. And it was a good time. But yeah, nobody hit on me, thank God. No. Well, I would have politely declined, though, the same way I've been politely declining gay Ken for 20 years now. So,
well, you know, Brad, if you're ever up in Wisconsin, no. My wife would get upset if that ever happened. It's not that I have a fear of being gay. It's not that anything like that. No, I'm more afraid of my wife being upset. Trust me, I think you can relate. But
yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, hey, I wanted to ask you on the air. I want to put you on the spot since we've had you on this show and I've had you on What the Fuck. You ever going to have us on Westmar show?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. I was thinking about that.
Because we can play nice.
Pardon me?
I said, we can play nice. We can play FCC friendly.
I know you can. And I definitely believe that you guys would be a perfect fit to be on the show. I just need to work out the kinks of what to really do. You know what I mean? I mean, you get into a rut sometimes. And when you're busy and you're old, you know, and decrepit like I am, you know, you get into a rut for the show and you're like, it's hard for me to step out of my box sometimes. But no, I'm going to have you on. Definitely, 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 definitely. I promise you right here on the spot on your show. I promise ye this. Okay.
Well, thank you. I'll be looking forward to it. Definitely. Is there anything, as far as your show goes, are there any topics that you've wanted to cover and haven't been able to for any particular reason? Or do you have any dream guests out there that you'd like to have on your show?
Or does Todd cock block you at all when you're trying to do something?
Well, you got loaded questions right there. I've got answers for all of them. So you can take them one at a time. First of all, anything I wanted to talk about or do on the show, you know, honestly, what I'm trying to do more than anything now that I'm trying to include Jared and Matt at the same time, because they've both been fabulous and reliable and everything else, is I want to give them fair time. I think they're both talented. They've both got something, you know, always have something good to say. And sometimes I tend to talk too much and it's just, it doesn't work well. And the good news is, like, tonight we recorded the show and I really held back. And I think it went well. I think they all had their fair time. I mean, that's kind of in my mind. None of them really complain about fair time, but I want to make sure that I'm making it worth their while to be on the show and helping out, because my name's on the show, not theirs, you know? So when it comes to guests, you know, there are a couple of people. I mean, I know that Josh isn't a big sports fan. I know we talk a lot about sports off and on the show. It's one of the things that I did on purpose when I started this show, because I wanted to have some kind of a niche. And the Twitter thing has really helped me gain an audience on Twitter. that enjoys the sports stuff that we do on occasion on the Brad Westmar Show. There's a guy here in town that I just think is fabulous. He's what I think that he's called, in my mind, I call him the black sheep of the media here in Kansas City. His name is Greg Hall. He's got himself a little blog and a column that he does that basically critiques the local sports radio talent on things that they say and their beliefs and stuff like that. He quotes them on his site and then talks, does a little few sentences about it or whatever. And I'd love to have him on. And Jared is my co-host, of course, really on my ass about getting Greg Hall on. And I've been very reluctant. And it's weird. I mean, I talk about being insecure. I mean, I'm scared to death. I've got one shot. You know, I've got one shot to impress this guy and get him on and make him feel important and ask the right questions. Maybe ask him some things that nobody else has asked him. Because that's one of the things. I've never, ever, ever told people that I'm a good interviewer. I've been told that I'm a good storyteller. But when it comes to bringing somebody in and interviewing them, number one, I've got to be interested in them. If I'm not interested in them, there's no way I'm going to be able to interview them. And number two, I mean, it's just not good. It's not easy to do interviews. If it's just not your forte, it's just not your forte. And I'm just kind of in the between of being able to do it. And I'm so enamored with this guy. And I've met him before. I'm so enamored with this guy that I'm scared of screwing it up. So I've got Jared kind of pushing me into the well, you know. And then with this guy, with Greg Hall. And then the other question that you asked, Josh, about Todd cock blocking me. You know, it's funny you say that. Because you've heard us play some very interesting songs from a gal named Jan Terry from the early 90s.
Yes.
On the show. Okay.
She's terrible.
Pardon me?
She's terrible.
Exactly. Exactly. And we've had a lot of fun with her. And Jared, to his credit, he's the one who brought her to my attention. And Todd claims, he claims, Todd says that he has Jan Terry ready to be on his show. Now, first of all, I'd like to punch him in the nutsack for bringing him on his show when it's our show that has been playing her music and talking about her for now a couple of months off and on, okay? But I let that fly because he called me immediately and did ask me. He said, well, I just want to let you know, and I said, well, can you get her on my show too? And he's like, well, yeah, you know, yeah, definitely. I think we could, yeah, no, definitely, definitely. I'll talk to her about it. Definitely, definitely, definitely. But it's like, okay, executive producer, who are you the executive producer for? Are you the producer for my show? Or are you the producer for Nightwatch? And you see, and I don't want to get into too much of the, you know, inner workings of Brad Westmar and Todd Sheets, but when we first started doing the Brad Westmar show, I didn't want him to be the board op. I didn't want him to be the quote-unquote producer because I thought it was a conflict of interest, and this is an exact reason why. You see what I'm saying? It's like, wait a minute, Jan Terry's our baby, you know? But he did the legwork. We didn't. I mean, he did the legwork for his show. So there's some interesting, you know, dynamics there, but we'll see how it plays out. If Jan Terry's actually on his show, then I'll believe she's actually going to come on our show, but I won't believe it until I hear it. You know,
if he gets Jan Terry, then one guest that I can suggest, and I highly doubt you'll ever get her on the show, frankly, just because I've tracked her down and talked to her and she's extremely reluctant just because she knows what she is. And that is, you can look her up on YouTube, is Linda Finkel.
Okay.
Right up there with Jan Terry when it comes to talent, just a pure winner. And it's funny you guys mentioned Jan Terry because I just heard Jan Terry a couple days ago referenced in another show, and I had completely forgotten about her because anyway, there's a long history there. But yeah, Linda Finkel, if you get a chance to look her up, is just wonderful.
Well, if Todd's going to steal Jan Terry from the Brad Westmar show, maybe we can get Linda Finkel on. Maybe we can actually work a wonder. You never know. You never know. You know, we'll see.
Well, what you should do is you should do a quadro smash with both of their things in there, as long with like Whitesnake or some other god awful 80s song.
No, you'll have
you. You know, that's a great idea. And a little insight for the next show here in a couple of weeks. We're going to do quadro smash again. And I have some plans, and I can say this because Jared will never hear this because Jared doesn't listen to our show. You know, I mean, that's the big joke on Jared is that if you don't listen to the show, you're fair game. So I may make fun of Josh. If I think Josh isn't listening to the show, I might make fun of Josh, thinking Josh isn't going to hear it anyway. And if he does, it'll be 4 months down the road and it won't be that big of a deal.
Except we've I always call you on it. I always call you on your shit that you throw at me.
Sure. You do, because I know you're listening. I know you're listening. I appreciate that. You're number listener number two, and I appreciate that. the same thing with Jared. Jared doesn't listen to a show he's on. He doesn't listen to the shows he's not on, and he never has. He didn't on the old show either. And again, you talk about some inner workings. I've always had a problem with that. I don't think you can get better if you don't listen to yourself. But at the same time, the guy's not getting paid. What can I do? You know, I can't say, you got to listen to yourself. You got to listen to yourself and get better. It's just, I can't do that. So Jared, as you probably heard, Josh, on my show, he's fair game every time he's not there. He gets ripped at least a couple of times every time he's not there. And we also mentioned here a few weeks ago, I believe on the air, that I was planning to do a very special Quattro Smash for him because he hated Quattro Smash. And for those that don't know, we play... Quattro Smash is a thing that I made up where we basically put four parts of songs together at the same time in a mix, and then the guys try to figure out what songs are in there, okay? So I was thinking about maybe just doing all Radiohead songs for Jared and seeing if he can pull anything out of there since he likes Radiohead or REM or something like that. So next week on the show, we're going to do that, but he's not going to know that that's what we're doing. And maybe for the other one, I'll do some Jan Terry. And since nobody at the time will know Linda Finkel, but we'll maybe throw some Jan Terry in there, too, just to kind of throw them off. Maybe that's a good idea, Josh. I like that, and I'm going to use that.
Maybe a Wing song or something like that.
Say, Say, Say by Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney.
There you go.
I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that by Meatloaf.
There you go.
The most overblown song of all time.
Or maybe Ebony and Ivory with Stevie Wonder and Paul McCartney would be good too, but yeah, there's lots of good options there. So that you got my mind spinning now. Thanks. Now I'm show prepping instead of doing your show.
Well, because I want to tell you about Quattro Smash. When I listen to it, I have trouble picking out the songs until you start telling us what they are. Then all of a sudden, like that, I can hear the song when you play it again. It's creepy how you do that.
Well, and I don't know if, I mean, it's, of course, it's not intentional, but I will tell you this, and this happened to me, I think the first time we did it was I had forgotten what the songs were, or maybe it was the second time we did it where I had some left over from the first time we did it, and I had forgotten what the songs were, and I'm listening to it the first time going, I don't have any freaking idea what any of these songs are. I better pull out my sheet, you know? And I pulled them out, and you're right. As soon as you know what the songs are, you can hear them. But when you're trying to figure it out, good luck. I mean, I had a cheat sheet. So it's weird. It must just be a mind over, I don't know. It's crazy.
So tell me this, Brad. Are there any topics or anything on your show that you consider taboo? And I won't ask you to go into any of them or into why or anything, but are there any topics that if anybody ever brings up, you kind of put the kibosh on right away?
Well, you know, I'm not a political guy, you know, and I don't know much about politics. So one of the things that we always said on the old show was that we don't do politics on this show. And we still pretty much adhere to that. I mean, we joked around like last year that, you know, there's a guy named Jared Blankenship, and that's Jared's last name, you know, running for president in Texas. So we joked about that. We played some clips of that and everything. But for the most part, we don't talk about politics just because politics are so messed up. It's just, there's no point. It's just not our thing. It's not going to be funny. I mean, we may make fun of people occasionally, but that's about it. You know, the thing that I will tell you this, you talk about the, you know, taboo things, and we talk about the thing that Josh had inside information on earlier that I haven't really quite exactly said on my show. And we joke about that. But the truth of the matter is, in today's day and age with the internet the way it is, if I go on the air and I, on my pretend radio show, and I say, blah, 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 people are like, what? Really? The next thing you know, I'll be the first person to ever be sued for saying something like that on a podcast and pretend radio. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, if it's going to happen to somebody, it's going to happen to me. So it's probably the one thing, one main reason that I've been holding back on that particular subject. And the other thing, too, I'll tell you guys that, you know, my show, the old show used to be really, really built around my personal life. And I still talk quite a bit about my personal life. But I don't talk about it quite as much now as I used to. I mean, I don't talk about my home life quite as much. And I really don't know why that is. I guess part of it is just the fact that the show is only an hour and we just don't have the time for me to tell as many stories as I used to be able to tell during a 3-hour show. And Jared, too, I'll tell you this. I have to be very careful with my co-hosts. And Todd has been a great sport, too. We made a lot of fun of him. Last week on the show, we discussed his movies and his DVD trilogy and the commentary and stuff. But we didn't make fun of what he did. We just made fun of some of the stuff on the DVDs. He's been a great sport. All the guys have been a great sport. But what I'm getting at is that Jared has made a comment to me before about, hey, you know, it's like, I got to be careful with you. I mean, here you are making fun of me because I stand up at work. You know, and you only happen to know that because you were over at my house one day. And I mean, I don't know. Do I need to be careful with, you know, what you see? Do I need to make sure that I'm covering up any landmines when you come over? And I'm like, you know, I'm not like that. But I do try to tread on, you know, on ice, I guess, for lack of tread water, you know, walk on glass. I'm careful, but I'm not. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, if there's something funny, it's funny. And Jared works at home and he stands up. It's funny. It's funny. And I don't know if did we mention it last week on the show? I mean, we had the notion that we should go ahead and raise his microphone up to the ceiling for him this week for the show. And he could ask why it's that way. And we tell him that we expected that he wanted to stand up, but he would be pissed. You know, it's like enough already. So, but I think it's freaking funny. And I think everybody else did too, you know?
Well, because I got to tell you, Brad, when Radiodrome had its one-year anniversary a while ago, we decided, and I was kind of inspired by you. Not you didn't like put the specific idea, but I did it very Brad Westmar style. We had a clip show, but we decided to fake the clips. So we were playing clips from previous episodes that we totally faked, and they were so brutally over the top that I got so much listener mail that people did not know that those were faked clips. So either I did it too good or the joke just went over their heads. I wasn't sure.
That's good. I like that. What's cool about you doing stuff like that and saying that I kind of, you know, off the side inspired something like that. I mean, it's nice to know that there are people out there that actually get what I'm doing and what we're trying to do. You know, and it's fun to hear other things that you've done based on, you know, A, B, or C that you might have thought of listening to my show. And that's really all I'm trying to do is take people away from the grind of life, you know, and maybe inspire you a little bit just to laugh or to think about something or to say, hey, I can relate to him. You know, I'm no different than anybody else. Obviously, it's just that I happen to have a background in radio and do a decent job of presenting myself on the air as a guy named Brad Westmar.
And you know? I apologize to interrupt, but we're running a little low on time here. But I want to make sure people know when and where can we catch you then on the air or online.
Well, thank you. And first of all, I want to promote the website, my website, bradwestmar.com. I mean, it's dear to my heart. It's my first personal website. It's been a little light on content lately, but that's the best place to hear the Brad Westmar show. You can go there and actually listen to the last 4 or 5 episodes right there on demand on the page. There's a page on there where you can go to. Every new show airs Friday nights, 8 p.m. Central on Jackalope Radio. That's at jackaloperadio.com. They have a pretend radio station there. And the show airs there 8 o'clock Central on Jackalope Radio on Fridays. And the show is available within a couple of days on Jackalope and also on bradwestmar.com.
And was there anything that you wanted to mention that I've missed? Just like you, I'm not a very good interviewer, so.
You guys do a good job. Baloney. I really can't think of anything else. I really enjoy talking to you guys. Scott, it's great to talk to you for the first time. I mean, I've listened to so many shows in the past, and it's like I already know you. And you've treated me like we already know each other, which is very cool, too. So I'm a big fan of you guys as well, and I promise you we'll have you on the show just as soon as we figure out what to do on the show. So looking forward to it. I thank you guys for having me on.
Definitely. It's been a pleasure having you on. And yeah, it's the first time we've talked, Brad, but I've enjoyed a few episodes of your show. Josh kind of had to, honestly, I'm kind of like Jared where I don't listen to everything very often. So he kind of had to twist my arm to get me to listen to you. And I've since become kind of a regular listener, but it's been a pleasure having you on. And I'm glad you could join us tonight.
Oh, thank you both very much again. I appreciate it. And I can relate to that kind of half-assed listening thing because there's so many things that I want to listen to and I never can get to them all. So I appreciate whenever you can listen. So thanks again, guys.
So listen to the Brad Westmar Show on Friday nights. You know, Lost and Static, you're obviously listening to. And I'm going to plug What the Fucking Radiodrome as well. So there, meh. So we're going to say good night.
Thanks a lot for joining us, everybody.
Go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code STATIC.
Definitely.
Get something to stick up your butt.
And we got 15 seconds. Go, Brad.
What do you want me to do? 10, say something like a
9, 8, 7. Sign off or something.
Thank you for coming. And if you didn't, maybe next time you can.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.